the show is ridiculously loose. So
okay.
You kind of can't mess up.
All right. That sounds perfect for me.
Play us in, yeah?
Okay.
All right, good. Hey, this is John. This is Home From Here. I just cut a commercial, so it's in my head, so I'm going to say it again. On April 21st at 1 o'clock, I think there's like 3 seats left for the Lifted Project. 37 of the best, it's actually 39 of the best musicians in Hudson Valley are getting together, going to perform Won't Be Broken, which is a song I wrote with Liv, to benefit 3 charities, an honorable mention for a 4th if we can get that in, which we can, Hudson River Housing, Berkshire Center for Children, Hudson Valley Animal Rescue, and then Kidney for Clark. They won't be there, but I'm talking about them anyway because it's a moving story. So that's Hudson Valley Regional Airport, April 21st. You really want to get there at 12, and you got to reserve seats. And like I said, there's like literally 3 left. So homefromhereshow.com, Lifted Project, if you want to go. And I'm with Kerry Dotson. Thank you for coming in.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. You're a mom?
I am.
Two. What? How old?
8 and 6.
8 and 6.
Yeah.
So I have a 16-year-old.
Okay.
So I only have one. Okay. And everybody's always like, why'd you only, because I'm like an old guy, I should have more than one kid. And everybody's asked, like, why'd you have one? And I'm like, well, first they ask, why did you wait? I was 43.
Okay.
When I had her.
Okay.
And everybody asks, like, why'd you wait till you were 43?
Sure.
And I'm like, I wanted to wait till I wasn't an asshole anymore.
So it
took longer.
Takes a while.
Took longer than expected.
Yeah.
And then the second question I always get is, why only one? Oh. And there was this, journeyman baseball player, mm-hmm. played minor leagues like for 17 years. I think it was for like the St. Louis Cardinals.
Okay.
And could never get up into the majors, but was good enough to play in the minor leagues. Mm-hmm. So he's in the minor leagues like 17 years and he's like, okay, you know, I'm getting old. I got to bail. So the St. Louis Cardinals weren't in contention for anything that year. So they're like, let's let him play in a real game.
Nice.
So they put him in a real game for an inning, and it turns out he gets an at bat.
Wow!
And at his at bat, he hits a home run.
Awesome!
Right, and he drops the bat, he touches the bases, and he says he gets interviewed, and he's like, "I'm never touching a baseball again."
So cool.
That's the reason I only had one kid.
I understand. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So my son was born first,
right.
And super easy, very chill from day one. My daughter, completely the opposite.
Mm. So
definitely, you know, I mean, she's
handful?
Amazing. She's amazing,
right.
But very, very challenging. So I don't know if we had started with her, maybe I'd only have one. Different reason.
I love when parents can admit that their kids are challenging.
Yeah.
So my daughter is an angel.
Okay.
But there was a time. There was like a, and no trouble, never in trouble,
yeah,
but just defiant, obnoxious. And she just circled back around recently.
Okay.
Which is great. But yeah. there was a time, man. So.
Yeah. My daughter has an opinion about absolutely everything.
Ooh.
It was that way from like the first second she was alive.
Really?
Yeah.
My daughter was born pissed off. She came out with like a head of like hair like out like this.
Wow.
Both fists clenched. And Yeah, just so same kid. Yeah, no, I get it. And you are the interim executive director for the Rhinebeck Center for Performing Arts.
I am.
Why interim? Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. So Lou Trapani, our longtime artistic and managing director from, you know, 1998, he retired last October. And I was working as the assistant artistic and managing director along with Olivia Michaels-Bogart. And when Lou retired, she became the interim artistic director. I became the interim managing director. And now, you know, we're just still rolling every day, you know. But the board of directors eventually
is going to have to.
Yeah. So, and they will vote and we'll see.
That's a nonprofit?
It is.
That's so hard.
It is very hard.
Yeah. I've done a couple.
Okay.
And I don't do them anymore.
Okay.
Because your inability, the pace at which you have to move.
Yes.
Is for me. I mean, some people are good at it. I'm not good at it, man. I'm like, wait, we have a good idea. Why don't we do it today?
Yeah.
Right?
It's just, you know, it's just. There's just always something, you know, it's like you just hit the ground running every day. And I listened to a very good webinar about managing a nonprofit. And she just kind of said, you know, the trick is that you're always going to be juggling too many balls. You know, it's just
with not enough hands.
Yeah, right. It's going to happen. But, you know, to be successful, you have to kind of figure out which balls you're going to drop on purpose.
Right,
you know?
Right. So. Oh, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I was like, okay, that does
make sense.
Yeah.
So what's your background? Are you actor? Are you what do you do? What was your background?
Sure. I was actor as a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my life.
Probably the right way to do it.
Yeah.
That's a tough life, man.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So I went to college for education initially.
Okay.
And I had an offer to study theater at the University of Toledo in Ohio.
Okay.
And I ended up turning it down because I didn't think that I would be able to find a career in theater. So,
and here we are.
I know. So, right. So funny how that worked out. But then I ended up at the university, at Michigan State University, and I studied zoology.
Are you from the Midwest?
I am, yeah.
Zoology?
Born in Ohio.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Zoology will help you with theater.
Yeah. So, you know, I kind of took all of my electives were theater based, but very sort of science and art. It was a nice mix. I really enjoyed my schooling. And then my husband got a job at IBM, so we moved to the Hudson Valley, and not really any zoos here, but my ultimate goal was to be a zoo nutritionist.
That is a unique goal.
Right? Yeah.
What about being a zoo nutritionist interested you?
I like the idea that, you know, people don't really think about that, but somebody is designing, you know, the meals that all these animals are getting.
Right.
And, the schooling, it would have required a doctorate, a PhD. Oof. Yeah. So I had someone I was working under at Michigan State.
So that's rare for somebody to be good with animals and people. That's a rare combo. That's good.
Thank you.
Hire this lady as the executive director. That's probably the highest level of human being, because there are people who are good with animals, right?
Yeah.
John. There are people who are good with people, not John. But you very rarely meet like the cat lady who is also like the person lady.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Yeah, I can see that. I've always kind of thought like, I don't know, the science and art thing was interesting because most people only choose one of those, you know,
right,
to focus on. But I've always been really interested in both. Anyway, so I ended up in Port Ewan, and I ended up working at Mac Fitness for 16 years.
Doing?
I was the manager of the personal training department.
Oh, cool.
So,
I have questions.
Okay, let's go.
No, like all my best friends are trainers.
Okay.
And so, and they're being a zoologist probably helps you with trainers too.
I think it did, right? Yeah. It's like a, you know, the gym is sort of a zoo for people.
Right.
I always kind of thought of it like that.
That's a brilliant way to put it. It is a zoo for people.
Yeah.
But you work out.
I do.
And you're a martial artist?
I'm not.
You're not?
Not at all.
Why did I think you were a martial artist?
I don't know.
All right. So what kind of workout do you do?
A little bit of everything, you know. I mean, I'm the kind of girl who I'll do like kickboxing in my basement, but I've never actually fought a human being.
Well, you don't. Right. Okay, so yeah. you train it, but you don't actually.
It's been a while, but yeah, I like to do that. Mostly, I'm a runner. I think probably my biggest sort of discipline. But I also do some powerlifting and biking. On a stationary bike. Right. I'm not good. I'm terrified of biking on the road.
But. You don't need to bike. Nobody needs to bike on a road. No.
Yeah, I'm just like, ooh, I'm like one crack away from, you know, sailing off into a tree.
So I've told the story. Want to hear a funny bike racing story?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So I used to race bikes. Mm-hmm. Like, and so on the weekends, I wasn't like great at it, but I would do it to stay in shape, right?
Okay.
So this is fun. So if you're a guy, and by the way, this was like 30 years ago. If you're a guy and you bounce up and down on a bicycle seat enough, your urethra kinks and you get bladder infections, right?
Oh, that's terrible.
Well, yeah, it is. But I had a great doctor
who,
like, after we figured out what it was, like, the third time, she's like, okay, just call me when you have it. Yeah. This was back in the days when you would call and they would call on a prescription and you would, you know.
Those were the days.
Yeah. Right. So I come home from, I was doing a race and it was a Sunday. And this is pre-cell phone.
Okay.
I'm doing a race and it's, or I had the cell phone, but it was like the big, you know, shoebox one. Yeah. And I was the only one that had it.
Sure.
And so I'm coming back from a race in Jersey, coming across a bridge, and it hits. And a bladder infection, I don't know what it feels like when you're a woman, but when you're a guy and you get a bladder infection, it's like you have to go to the bathroom in the worst way possible. Oh, no. And going to the bathroom does nothing to leave. It's that feeling. So I'm driving up to Springbrook Parkway because I live in Westchester, and I can't get a hold of my doctor, and I'm screwed. And I'm in my bike gear, right?
Oh, no.
This gets way worse. So I go to Westchester Medical Center, which is off the Springbrook Parkway.
Okay.
Which happens to be adjacent to the Westchester Correctional Facility, right? Mm. So, which is a prison.
Sure.
So, I go in and I go to the emergency room. And I'm like, look. And I'm in the bike stuff. Like, I'm in the time. And I'm like, look, I know what this is.
Yeah.
I need Bactrim and I need Peridium. It's a bladder infection. I get it after I ride. I know what this is.
Sure.
And the nurse is like, you know, you get just step in here, and they pull the curtain around your cot, and the doctor comes in, and I'm like, look, I know what this is. It's a bladder infection. I need Bactrim and I need Peridium. I know what this is. Now it turns out that the other illness where you have that sensation, it could be prostate.
So
he's like, I have to check your prostate. And I'm like, no, you don't have to check it. I know what this is. Look what I'm wearing. I know what this is. And he's like, I have to check your prostate. And I'm like, oh.
Wow.
So I'm my forearms are on the cot and my feet are on the floor. You get the picture?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, the curtains in the ER never close all the way.
I'm aware.
There's a 3-inch gap. And I'm looking through the 3-inch gap. And across from me, because Westchester Medical Center is adjacent to the Westchester Correctional Facility, are three guys in shackles and cuffs watching me get my prostate checked. And I'm like, dude, I just got blanked in prison. So you don't need to ride a bike on the road.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. I will not.
Are you okay? Good. Are you afraid of the robots with AI and the arts? Because you're smack dab in the middle of them now.
Yeah.
What do you think?
You know, it's interesting. It is a little bit scary. You know, they are useful. You know, we use them sometimes with our marketing a little bit, mm-hmm. but you know, it's nice to get a little head start in that area.
Right.
But yeah, thinking about, you know, AI written scripts and AI commercials and everything, that's definitely a worry.
I have a theory.
What is it?
The theory is that AI will bring about the resurgence of live theater.
Ooh, and I love this theory.
And here's my rationale.
Sure.
There is a need to create art, right? Mm-hmm, and definitely. That's a human need to create art.
Sure.
But not everybody necessarily has that need, and so AI want to jump in. Great. I still don't believe you're ever going to get it 100%, but whatever.
Yeah.
But there's also a human. But the economic model supports AI doing it, and so eventually, you know, we're going to be competing with our computers, and we're going to lose. But there is also a human need to be in the presence of people performing art. That's a completely different need that a computer that's an itch a computer can't scratch.
Right.
Just can't scratch it.
Right.
So I worry about AI in terms of art creation, but I think it pushes people into theaters.
Okay.
Because people need to be in front of people who are doing things.
Yeah, definitely.
So stay at the job, because I think you're about to have a big boom.
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
I would love it. Absolutely. Yeah.
But yeah?
It makes a lot of sense, actually. Yeah. Yeah. But things are definitely hard right now.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you raise money?
Oh, gosh. Any way we can.
Oh, okay. All right. So yeah. you do specific fundraisers? And
yeah. We have a big one coming up this weekend.
Oh.
Yes.
I'll get the show up tomorrow then, so we know here about it. What is it?
It is called The Dressing Room Diaries with Hillary Burton Morgan. She is, you know, a local favorite celebrity, married to Jeffrey Dean Morgan. She starred in One Tree Hill. And she's been very involved in our little community. And
awesome.
She offered her time to help us out. She knew that we were having a difficult time right now.
Right.
And yeah, so she's going to do a meet and greet, and she's going to tell stories about her own life in the theater. And it's kind of an event that we've never done before. So we're very excited about that.
Do you, is it a ticketed event?
It is.
How do I get tickets?
Centerforperformingarts.org.
Okay.
You can get the tickets right there. And before that, this is all on Sunday the 14th.
Okay.
Before that, we are doing an event with Oblong Books with local author Sarah Lingen. So that is at 11 a.m., followed by the event with Hillary Burton at 1 p.m. So big, big, big day for us coming up.
Okay, great. I will. So today's the 8th?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll put the show up on the 9th.
Oh, nice.
So we'll pitch it.
Okay.
See if we can't drive a couple people there.
That would be wonderful.
It's definitely
it's a very sort of once in a lifetime event, you know.
Yeah.
If anyone who's a fan of Hillary Burton should definitely not miss out.
I'm a fan of her name.
Yeah.
Do you so you have acted on a stage?
Oh yes, many times.
Okay. You listen to Smartless?
No.
Smartless is a podcast.
Okay.
It's Jason Bateman.
Oh yes.
Will Arnett.
Yes.
And Sean Hayes.
Oh, I have heard.
Okay.
A few.
Sean Hayes always asks theater people this question, so I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
What's the worst thing that happened to you on a stage?
Oh.
Anything horrible happen?
You know, nothing too terrible. But there was one time I was in the ensemble of Spamalot, which is a very funny musical. Lots and lots of dancing, and I was the ensemble. Women are called Laker Girls, so
that's funny.
Sort of a mermaid-esque, you know, appearance. I had long extensions, which I'd never worn before. It was very fun.
Mm.
And we had a little sort of bikini top.
Okay.
On and you know, wearing a body stocking, so it wasn't like
right.
There was nothing underneath, but there was. you know.
But people didn't know that.
The biggest dance number that there, I think, I don't know, it was like 6 minutes of dancing or something. And then at the end, I end up on someone's shoulder, you know, with my arms up in the air. And my top had completely, it was just gone. I didn't realize it, but here I was just grinning away at the, you know, the final moment of the song.
There's our pull quote. The way I started framing the story is I pull a quote out of our show. I pull a quote out of the show and then I put it up front and then we do music in the intro. Your pull quote is going to be, and my top was just gone.
Yeah. Ooh. So, it was very funny.
That's hilarious. Yeah. So, do you do anything creative now? Because you're admin. So what do you do creatively?
Yeah. I
you're a suit now.
I am. Yeah. I was. It's a year ago now that almost. Last spring, I was in a production of Hello Dolly.
Oh, okay.
And also dancing in the ensemble, which, you know, was really fun. Really,
right.
Really wonderful director and choreography, and the costumes were great. And it had been 10 years almost exactly that I had been on stage when I did Hello Dolly. And now, like, I don't know. I can't see how I can fit it into my life. I really would love to, but it's hard.
It's funny. There are chapters, right? There, yeah. Like, do you know my story at all?
I don't.
Okay. I went crazy. Like, but like, BB gun in my underwear looking for aliens. Crazy.
Yikes.
Okay. And, yeah. No, it was a thing. And, so the road back from that is, it's a road.
Okay.
During which you don't play guitar. So there was like a 6 year span where I didn't play guitar, and I've been playing like my whole life. And every day I was working just so hard on getting better.
Sure.
That I didn't have time to play. And then when I picked it back up, I was bad at it.
And yes.
Yeah. And so, there are chapters where where creativity leaves you. And
sure.
You know what helps? Do you do the morning pages?
No.
Do you know them?
No.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
I'm going to change your life. You ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
Here we go. So the morning page, you ever read the book The Artist's Way?
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely. So the morning pages are in The Artist's Way.
Okay.
And what you do is every morning you get up, you can do it with coffee, but you can't do it after coffee. It's got to be.
I can't do anything without coffee.
Understood. All right. So get your coffee.
Okay.
Sit down. Write 300 pages of whatever. You can write the word doorknob, but it's got to be 300 pages.
Yeah.
Take 20 minutes. Maybe. 15, maybe. I don't know. It's not a journal. No one's ever going to see it.
Yeah.
It can be a journal if that's what you make it, but there's the job is just to fill 3 pages. That was part of my road back from crazy is doing that. But I found what it does is it changes your brain's orientation from, because the rest of the day, especially with your job, the rest of your day is you're a mom of two and you're an executive director. Your job is to find out about a problem, fix the problem, and then find out about the next problem and fix the next problem, right?
Right.
So that's all receiving information.
Yeah.
What the pages do is it changes your orientation from receiving information to giving information, to output, to create.
Yes.
And so you scratch that itch, even if the rest of your day is just putting out fires, you scratch that itch in the first 20 minutes of your day, and it rewires your it rewired my head, I should say.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it's a cool practice.
Yeah, I've never tried it.
Yeah, yeah. It's just
300
pages. Again, don't put pressure on yourself to write anything.
Sure.
It's just doorknob, or whatever, or
amazing.
Burton sucks, but whatever you want to do. But
sure.
It does change your wiring.
Wow. Yeah, I'll try it.
Go ahead.
Oh, the other thing, you know, sort of creatively that I get to do at my job is write scripts for the summer camps.
Oh, okay. All right. So they're itch scratched.
That is fun.
There you go.
I have one that I'm doing for a Bluey camp in August this year. And I haven't started it yet. I know where I'm going with
right.
it, but yeah.
Do you write by hand or do you write type?
I type.
Okay. So what are the summer camps? What's that program?
We We have an incredible education program, actually, that that is definitely one of the biggest accomplishments of the center. But yeah, every year we do different summer camps. They are from 1 to 3 weeks in length, and anywhere from ages 5 to 17. And yeah, different topics. Wizard of Oz tends to be our most popular one for the little kids.
Right.
But we do usually do 2 musicals. That those are the 2 and 3 week camps.
Right.
Actually 3. So we're doing Charlie and the Chocolate Factory for younger kids. That's
wonderful.
7 to 11, and then the teenagers get to do Frozen Junior or Matilda Junior.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so definitely.
And how, same thing, go to the website? Thing.
Yeah, Center for Performing Arts. There's a whole education section. Oh, yeah, .org.
That's right.
Thank you.
You'd be amazed.
Yes, oh, I know.
Okay. When does registration start for that?
It started.
Oh, so it's go time.
Yeah, it's go time.
Center for Performing Arts.org. It's in Rhinebeck. Mm-hmm. All the information's there.
All the information's there. Yep.
All right, cool. Yeah. I've run a nonprofit, and I was bad at it.
Okay.
What's the hardest part?
The hardest part right now is the financial situation that we're in. We had an anonymous donor that we were very reliant on, and we lost that funding this year. And, just trying to find different ways to replace that has been very difficult. And before, it was kind of like we had all of our eggs in one basket because it was one large egg.
Right.
Right now, we're trying to find, lots of different smaller eggs so that we're not.
You know what's so
reliant.
Hard about that, too? Like, when you're in that situation, you're in that situation.
Yes.
Like, every year you look and you go, okay, I'm making up a number. This is not true of Center for Porn Arts. Like, 90% of our funding comes from X.
Yeah.
I know that. I know that's not good, but there's only 12 hours in a day.
Right.
And, in order for me to, like, I have to perform a job in order to make sure that my 90% from X happens next year.
Right.
So I don't have the time to make, to source other funding.
Mm-hmm.
And then, nobody ever gives you notice that they're going to stop giving.
Yeah.
And so that's hard, man.
Yeah, it is hard.
You get that notice and it's like, well, this year I'm not. And then you're like, well, that would have been good to know last year.
Exactly.
Yeah. But that's really hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Are you good at asking people for money?
Getting much better.
What's the trick? I suck at it.
I think the trick is just to ask, is what I'm finding. And
okay.
Like, people tend to be very responsive. We did a big membership appeal letter at the end of the year. And, that's a little bit easier, right? Sending a letter, signing it, making it a little bit personal when you can. But that was very helpful. And, just in general, asking people face to face, if you don't do it, the answer is no.
Right.
Automatically.
Right. Right.
Because
we're taking advertising here.
Okay.
And another thing I'm bad at is asking for money.
Sure.
So I'm like, but
yeah,
it's
one of those things, sort of like exercise, right? If you get into your clothes, like, you're probably gonna do it, but
sometimes
the hardest part is just getting there.
Right.
But
you just got to show up and do it.
Yeah. So I think when you ask, the response is very positive.
And do you guys, so Center for Performing Arts, are you mostly play based or do you do concerts?
We do a little bit of both.
Would you ever do a live podcast?
Perhaps. Yeah, that is something.
I'm going to send you an email.
Okay. Yeah, we were actually talking about that with Hillary Burton. She records a lot of podcasts.
Oh, cool.
Also. So, yeah, I think that's a very fun idea.
That's Burton on Burton Violence.
I'm,
if you're going to, you let her do that. Yeah.
Yeah, it is strange. But yeah, we, on our main stage, we are focusing a lot on musicals this year because, like I said, we are hurting. So musicals tend to get the most people.
I have one for you.
Ooh, what is it?
It's called Choices. It's a rock opera.
Okay.
It's Broadway bound.
Okay.
And they're looking for spots to work it out. It's being performed in London.
Oh, wow.
They're doing, they're, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this.
Okay.
I say, nobody else, John Burton says sure. that they're going to film it.
Okay.
And they're looking for a spot in the Hudson Valley to put it on.
Oh, cool.
So,
okay.
I'll give you the lady's number.
Yeah.
She, but,
let's it, check it out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's, they're, and it's cool. It's a rock opera.
Mm-hmm.
But,
love those.
Oh, okay, cool. and it's about, this guy, his career is ascending, but he falls in love.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to figure out, am I going to be a rock star? Am I going to be a, you know,
sure.
a human being?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I'll send it to you. You take a look.
Okay.
But,
excellent.
Do you, dance? Do you,
Yeah, we have our own dance studio, actually.
Oh, you do?
Center Stage Dance. Yep.
Oh, wow.
And, dancers of all ages, they start at 3 years old. So really, really tiny ones. But pretty much, you know, all disciplines.
Did you dance as a kid?
I never took classes. But
is that why you're well-balanced?
I don't know. Yeah, I always wanted to, you know, one of those. I was one of those little girls that dreamed about being a ballerina.
Right.
But, you know, just I lived in a cornfield in Northwest Ohio, and my parents just never
went to college in Northwest Iowa.
Oh, okay.
And so I know a little bit
corn.
About yo, and no trees to block the wind, no hills
yeah,
or trees to block the wind.
So
man.
Flat.
First
it's
winter,
crazy.
I thought I was gonna die. First winter, I thought I was gonna die, and I went to college, and, like I graduated 81 from high school. So
okay.
So, and I remember, I remember. Get in Iowa, and every parking spot had a electrical plug coming out of it. And this is like in 82.
Wow.
All the cars in Iowa had warmers in them because you knew, you knew hell was coming. it's so true. You
That's
knew hell
very
was.
Funny. I have never seen that.
Oh, man. I was freaked out. And then the first time I got hit by the wind, oh.
Yeah, it's bad. The drift, the snow drift,
yeah.
you know, like it just doesn't really happen here.
Did you see Northern Lights there?
No, I never did.
So it's a funny story, right?
Sure.
So the school I went to is called Northwestern. Great school.
Oh, yeah.
Christian
school.
College. Well, no, it's not the one you're thinking of.
Oh, okay.
Northwestern, it's Northwestern College. It's a little tiny college.
Okay, okay.
So it's a Christian school. So I go there and, you know, it. Like I said, it's Iowa. It's a pool table with a fan on it, and it's just yeah. and, right, and that makes weird weather.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's a Christian college, I was going to be a pastor, so
okay.
It's a Christian college. Everybody's going there for Christian education.
Sure,
all great until you look up in the sky, and there's these waves of color in the middle of the night going over the sky, and there's wind, and there's
Ooh.
Waves of color that you don't understand, and there's blues and greens and yellows, and they're just flying over your head. And if you're in college, especially if you're a freshman in college, you think that's not weather. You think that's the rapture.
Oh.
And so, like, the entire college population is like, this is the end times. We're going to. It was the weirdest night of my life. Like, I literally was like, I'm ready to go to heaven.
Oh, my goodness.
And I didn't. But,
okay. Well,
yeah. Yeah.
Great.
I'm glad you're still here, John. Thank you.
Yeah.
So. Dance schools. Are you guys? Do you competition?
They do. Yeah, they
and,
do.
Yeah.
I think usually two or three. At least I know we do at least two, but
cool.
Maybe more than that. Yeah, and there's always a big recital, and yeah, the dance school is kind of its own little entity, but part of us,
right?
And part of the education department.
Do you rent your facility out? Like.
We do
okay.
sometimes. Yeah,
it's
very tricky with us because we plan our yearly calendar, you know, 18 months in advance.
Right.
So we have a few different production companies that work with us, as well as our own center production company, Center Stage. So you know, we plan where those shows are gonna go.
Right.
And then we have to plan all of the rehearsals, right?
Mm.
And that's a constant juggling of spaces and time. And the dance classes are sort of in our rehearsal spaces
right.
until evening. So it gets a little hard to find space, but
right. No, that makes sense.
But yeah, but we do rent. We also built a black box theater this year.
That's
we're
cool.
Very excited about that. Yeah, so a more intimate space, you know, for things that maybe won't generate as large of audience. But
how many seats?
30 to 40.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And our first show is coming up the end of May, I think. But yeah, our first performance in that space. But we're kind of hoping to use that as a space where we can put the more fringy, artistic,
right,
weird,
right, right,
weird shows, you know, that maybe we can't sell 165 seats to on our main stage,
right,
but still have merit, you know, as art. We still want people, yeah, to see it and experience it. And maybe smaller things like open mics or readings,
mm-hmm,
things like that. So we're very excited to have that space.
Open mics are for musicians or for comedy?
Maybe. Yeah, I think it could be either, definitely.
I've been converted on the open mic thing.
Okay.
I used to be rabidly anti open mic.
Why?
You know what stock photography is?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you don't know what stock photography is, stock photography is, it used to be that if I wanted a picture of a tiger, I'd have to fly to Africa and hire a photographer and take a picture of a tiger over the course of 3 weeks and then fly back. Right. That was expensive.
Right.
Then somebody thought, well, wait a second. I already have a picture of a photographer of a lion. Why don't I rent it to you? And sure, you can use it, right? And that killed the photography industry. Because once you started devaluing photography, once I knew what I used to have to pay $20,000 for, I now can pay $150 for.
Right.
And then what happened is you got license-free photography, royalty-free photography, where now I can just go pick it up royalty-free.
Yeah.
Kill the photography business. My argument used to be that open mic is stock photography. Once a musician starts performing for free, and once the public knows that they can get music for free, same thing. How are you going to pay for it?
Yeah.
If I can get it for free. But then I learned I was wrong. Mm. Because what happens is open mic is a gateway for musicians. Mm. And so, you know, like I have the show, so I can, you know, I can play if I want. I don't like playing out that much. But I could if I wanted to, because I have the show and people are like, okay, we'll talk about it on the show and we'll get an audience and that'll be great.
Yeah.
But, you know, but if you don't do that, there's no place to work stuff out at, and there's no place to get experience at.
Right.
And there are, and the other thing, especially in the Hudson Valley, there are so many talented musicians around here.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
It is ridiculous. And so I'm like, but they don't have places to play.
Right.
And I'm like, you know what? I've gone from open mic kills the business to open mic is an actual service.
Sure.
I think it's an actual service now.
I think so too.
Right?
Yeah.
And there, and like around here, you can't go wrong, man. There are so many talented musicians. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I think that the people who grew up here, lived here forever, just kind of take that for granted, but definitely was not like this in Michigan or Northwest Ohio.
You are so right, because I was part of a group that toured, and you know, we would go spend almost all the states, and not a music, it was a choral reader group, but
sure,
still, and like you go there and they're like, not Hudson Valley is weird.
It really is,
right? Yeah. It's really strange, yeah. And so so I think an open mic is a service, and there's not really places for musicians to play original stuff.
Right.
If you get hired to play out, you know.
Yeah.
You got to do covers.
Right.
So there's not really a place for.
Yeah.
What about a coffee house? Would that be an idea? Would you hold a coffee house?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. I did one at Katona Presbyterian Church.
Okay.
I didn't publicize it at all. This was pre-COVID. I didn't publicize it at all. And I had like six musicians and they did like 20 minutes of, you know, like 180 people.
Wow.
Just because the idea of come, hang out, pay attention if you want, don't pay attention if you want.
Yeah.
And rotate in and out.
Hmm.
Made money.
That's a great idea.
Made money. It's all yours. Take it. Run.
Thank you.
And I'll hook you up with the musicians too, man.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm doing, you know, this lifted project thing. Do you know about this?
No.
Oh, okay. So my wife has cancer, right? Mm. She gets head and neck cancer, and she goes through this amazing recovery with this trainer. It's just an inspiring story.
Wow.
And because she was so traumatized that she couldn't do regular physical therapy. She's like, I'm never going to a hospital again. They cut her head off and they burned her face off. And it was horror, show. So she winds up, you'll like the story. She winds up, I'm friends with the trainer. I say to this trainer, hey, you know, could Trish come to a class and just sit in the back and shuffle her feet? Because that's all she could do. She had neuropathy and she couldn't move her. So bring her to class, and she's got a baseball hat on because the back of her head is bald, and she's got, you know, huge scarring all over her neck from the surgery. So she's wearing a scarf and her face is puffy from treatment. They like put part of her thigh in her cheek. It was just a nightmare. And this trainer says, okay, well, you know, I'm having none of that. So she brought her up to the front, and over the course of like 4 months, basically transformed her. Wow. It was amazing. And
incredible.
Incredible. And all because of trust and belief in each other. Right.
Sure.
So I'm like, okay, that's inspiring. I've seen somebody get lifted. Now I know what happens when somebody says, hey, I believe in you.
Yeah.
Just that. No money changing hands. Just, I believe in you. Now I see what people are capable of. Then I see the We Are the World documentary.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, the big draw for We Are the World was, oh, look at all that talent in one room.
Right.
And I'm watching that documentary, and I'm like, wait a second. That's the Hudson Valley.
Yeah.
The Hudson Valley is basically... We Are the World, because it takes nothing to fill a room with like crazy talented musicians.
No, you're absolutely right.
And so, but here's how cool the musicians are around here, which is why the coffee house idea might really work, because they bring their own audience too.
Yeah.
So you don't have to do that much. So I invite 39. No, I invite 40 musicians. 38 said yes within like the first 12 hours, and the two that said no. One had a job and one was touring in North Carolina.
Wow.
Otherwise would have been here. So yeah, just it's amazing around here. Is it the same for acting too? Same?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So much talent, like crazy.
Wow.
And vocalists, you know, just incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So much talent here.
Do you, we had the cast of,
The Prom.
The Prom.
Right?
They were amazing.
Yeah, they really were.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Did that go well?
It did. Yeah. It's such a happy, heartwarming show.
Yeah.
It's great.
Do you love your job?
I do.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
God bless you. That job is so hard, man.
Yeah.
are you there 5 days a week, or how do you handle it?
Sometimes 5 days a week, sometimes 6 days a week, depending on what events are going on.
Right.
You know, try not to be there 7 days a week. It's happened a couple times.
Wow.
But yeah, you know.
Well, that's the other thing. Is that job? So does that bang your personal life up?
It is. It's challenging with my kids, and I have a husband that travels a lot. So it makes it challenging. But there's a lot that I can do from home too.
Right.
Write, you know, emails and all of this.
Is your husband artistic?
He also acts. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Does he ever act for you?
Does he what?
Ever act for you?
Oh no.
I mean, right. I don't mean in your living room. Yes, does he ever do one-man shows in your living room?
He does not.
And force you to sit through it?
No, yeah.
Because that actually happens at my house. Like if I write a song or something, I'm like, yeah. Trish, you got to hear this.
Oh, sure.
No, because she's not into it. I've literally sat on a stool with a guitar playing while she's vacuuming underneath me. That's how little she's.
That sounds like married life.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty much it. But yeah.
he has done stuff at the center.
So you've been his boss?
No, not since I've worked there.
Oh, okay.
So he's, I think his last show was 2017.
Oh, okay.
He acted in it and produced it when our son was really little. But yeah, it's been a while for him, but I know he would.
Does
love
he want
to
get
go back?
He wants to get back into it.
Yeah, he would love to. His job is very, very time consuming.
Right. Why? So, you may be the only guest I have had that has the answer to this.
Okay, I don't know.
You work all week.
Sure.
You plan your Friday or your Saturday night, and you build your week around that. That's when you're gonna. You know, that's when I'm gonna like let relax. I have no responsibility. I'm going to be enjoying. I'm going to get fed. I'm going to fed spiritually, emotionally, maybe food, whatever.
Right.
That's the most, that's where I'm living life at the highest level.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Why the fuck do I pay the least amount of money for life at the highest level? I don't understand it. And it's musicians, it's plays, it's whatever. That you would think that that coming to a show at the Center for Performing Arts would be something I planned 3 weeks in advance. I'm psyched to go. I'm being entertained. That's going to be the best spot of the month for me because the rest is working and raising kids and trying not to get fat and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
It amazes me.
Yeah.
That you have to eat, that you even have to fundraise. I would think that people would say, wait a second, that's my highest point.
Yeah.
I'm going to pay the most money for that and the least amount of money for eggs.
Right.
Why doesn't it work like that?
I do not know.
Okay. We're all screwed.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess maybe most people don't consider it a priority. Like it's not. I don't know. I think that money is tight for a lot of individuals right now.
Right.
Everyone's paying more for everything. So right. It's like, it's important for your soul and for, you know, for your headspace, certainly. But like, if it comes down to, am I going to buy a ticket for a show or feed my family?
Right.
Most people will choose to feed their family.
Right. Right. But even like the people that aren't in that position.
Yeah.
Like you would think that and because performing arts are so central to our DNA.
Right.
You're not asking somebody to fund something that's abstract.
Right.
We stood around campfires with saber-toothed tigers in the corner and did performing arts. This is DNA.
Yeah.
It just amazes me that
No, you're right.
Right?
Yeah. 100%.
So weird.
It is.
What? Like, I'm almost sad for us that happened to us, that we somehow, and, you know, I guess the argument would be, you know, you can stream stuff, you can blah, blah, you don't have to leave home. But sitting in the theater is unlike anything else.
It is.
And sitting in a theater with a live, sitting in a movie theater
is
like sitting in your living room and watching a TV. Right. I get that. But sitting watching people give to you, real people give to you, that's not like anything else.
It's not, no.
And I'm sad for us as people that we don't value that as we don't respect that with money the way we don't pay what it's worth.
Right.
Right.
I agree.
It's weird.
Yeah.
And it would be great for somebody to fly in and give you like $4 million and say, okay, exist for 8 years.
Yes.
And just do everything for free.
Yeah.
And just expose people to it.
That would be incredible.
Right? Because once you sit and watch a play, like if you get your ass out of the chair and go to a theater and watch a play or watch a dance or whatever, once you've done that, you're in it.
Sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
You just got to go that first time. So if you're listening, get off your ass. Go to the Center Performing Arts in Rhinebeck. Watch one thing. Yeah. It's a very different experience. You're not scratching the same itch or tapping the same serotonin that you are when you're watching Netflix. It's not. They're not the same thing.
Not at all.
Right?
Yeah, not remotely. I think that part of the problem we get in this area is also, you know, the proximity to Broadway, right? So a lot of people will plan to see that Broadway show. It's very expensive. It's a trip to get down there, you know. So once that's sort of in the books, you know, they're like, well, I can't afford to see this little show that's playing in Rhinebeck, you know.
So, all right, listen.
Yeah.
If you're going to Broadway instead of the Center for Performing Arts in Rhinebeck, let me tell you this: Hudson Valley's great. There's something in the water here. The talent's as good.
Absolutely.
And half the Broadway talent lives here.
Yeah.
So you're not skipping a beat. You don't have to get on a train. You don't have to buy a $300 dinner. You don't have to. You can just you can see same. You heard the prom cast in here. Mm-hmm. You can see this a fantastic level of talent. Yeah. And still be home by 10.
Yes, and still be home by 10. Yeah. And sometimes you even get to see the talent before they make it to Broadway or to national tours. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've had a lot of performers who have moved on up, you know.
Right.
So that's kind of a cool experience. You can be like, oh, I remember that guy was in that show and now he's on Broadway. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is. I didn't think of that. Yeah, you're right. That is kind
of
cool.
Yeah, a lot of our younger performers are we have a program called Teens on Stage, and they're just amazing. Like, mm-hmm. Even, you know, even the kids here.
Right. It's so weird, right?
Talent. I'm just like always blown away. Yeah.
All right. So the best way to support you is what?
The best way to support us, go see a show. We have a lot of really cool shows coming up. Little Shop of Horrors is opening in May. And our next show at the center is actually a play. It's an original piece called Two Gentlemen of Verona, New Jersey, by a very young production company called Definitely Human. Sort of.
It's a great name for a production company.
Yeah, they are really cool. They're wonderful. But it's sort of, you know, a mashup of Shakespeare and the Sopranos.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Yeah. So definitely, I haven't seen it. I'm really looking forward to that production. And then that's followed by Little Shop of Horrors, which we're very excited about that. And then we have My Fair Lady this summer, and we just had auditions for Guys and Dolls that will also be this summer. So lots of great shows coming up. If you can't see a show, you know, consider giving us a donation. Consider becoming a member of the center. We have some cool benefits, free tickets, and discounts on those summer camps if you'd like to become a member.
What's the website again?
CenterForPerformingArts.org.
And the fundraiser again?
Oh, the fundraiser is this Sunday, April 14th. We have Oblong Books, Sarah Langan in conversation with Hillary Burton Morgan. That's at 11 a.m. And then the Dressing Room Diaries with Hillary Burton Morgan is at 1 p.m.
Keep doing this work. Don't quit, man.
Thank you
it's
so
important
much.
Stuff, and I'm telling you, AI is going to push people right into the theater.
I hope so.
I really do think that.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's the one experience a computer can't give you. Thanks, Gary, for coming in.
All right, thank you so much for having me.
No, it was fun.
It was great.
You're fun, yeah?
Thank you.
More relaxed now, right?
I am. So
good. I'm John. And that was Home From Here.